Hey, y'all, here on the show, we talk a lot about building audiences and marketing your books, even long before you have a book in hand. And so I wanted to bring on some authors and publishers to the show to talk about publishing journeys, as no one size fits all when it comes to deciding, are you going to self-publish, traditionally publish, or hybrid publish, as well as how authors have been marketing their books on podcasts, either as a guest or host. And today, my guest is Clay Boatwright. Clay and I connected years ago as fellow parents of children with special needs, and he's such a huge advocate for parents like me in the state of Texas. And the day program that my adult son with autism attends sent home a copy of Clay's book, God's Plan, Our Circus, A Family Odyssey Through Autism, Death, and Reinvention. And this book was such a blessing because it, of course, was a great resource for my own family. My husband recently met Clay along with a couple other dads to learn about local resources for our adult children. And y'all know, as a book marketer, I love discovering new books and meeting authors. And so Clay was on my list to ask to be a guest anyway, but then his profile popped up as a possible podcast guest match on the Podmatch service. Which, if you don't know about Podmatch, we're going to talk about it a little bit today, and we'll be talking about it a lot more this fall. So obviously, God had a plan for Clay to be my guest, too, to talk about the publishing route he chose and how guesting on podcast has helped him market his book. So here, you know, we're focused on the publishing and marketing in this episode, but you're going to also hear Clay share about his amazing wife of 30 years, Carol, who sadly passed away a few years ago from cancer. And he's going to share about his oldest daughter, Blair, and her younger sisters, Clay's daughters, Paige and Mia, who are young adults with severe autism. So it's really an honor to have Clay on the show today as a fellow special needs parent, and I can't wait for you to hear from him all about his publishing journey. So let's get to it. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm Kim, a book marketing strategist for Christian authors, and I'm so thrilled you're here to learn how to grow your author platform, market your book on podcast, and steward your message in a way that honors God and your time. Well, hey, Clay, thank you for joining us on Book Marketing Mania. I'm so glad you're here today.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm flattered and honored to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so y'all heard me talk all about Clay and the amazing work he does for our disability community. And I just wanted to have you on the show, Clay, and talk about your author journey. And so can you kind of tell us a little bit about how it got started, and is like writing a book something that's always been on your heart?
Sure. So I would say that it's not something that has been on my heart all along. My story is fairly unique. So I have three children. My oldest is 26, a traditional young adult. She's about to give me my first grandchild on August 18th.
I'm going
to
become a grandparent. Oh, yay! Congratulations.
Thank you. I remember back in the days when kids just showed up. Now we schedule them weeks in advance. So that's funny how that works. And then her younger sisters, Paige and Mia, are 23, and they have really severe intellectual disabilities and autism. And so we had a lot of challenges raising the kids over time, as you can imagine. And maybe where I was a little different was, for some reason, I felt compelled to get on this crazy thing called Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I would like share all kinds of things on Facebook. And once I got into it, I realized that I got into Facebook for three reasons. One was to hopefully share some faith perspectives. So share a little bit of the gospel. Number two was to reach out to families like ours who are going through extreme difficulties, and maybe share some of our stories that people who perhaps are not as open as I am could look at it and say, you know what? I'm glad to know I'm not the only one dealing with that craziness, you know, and help alleviate some concerns there. And then also just to embarrass my oldest daughter. So if I could do all three of those things, sometimes I could do them in the same post. That was called trifecta. But over time, as years went on, I would post things about our family and the challenges of raising Paige and Mia. And I have a somewhat of an alternative way of looking at life. I'm a little bit more lighthearted. Speaking of Facebook, my caption under my picture is, life is too important to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So I tend to take a more humorous look at things. Many years ago, a friend of mine from church had recommended that I consider writing a book. And she connected me with a publisher who specialized in autism-related books. And
yeah,
met for lunch, and we had a nice conversation. I think Paige and Mia were maybe 8 years old at the time. And it was a nice conversation. It planted the seed, but then it never really germinated. So I didn't really feel the need to move forward with it. So then calendar moves ahead, raising the kids, got everybody out of the house. After we got Blair went off to college, we got a group home set up for Paige and Mia. Carol went back to work for the first time in 20 years, and 6 months later was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So she thought we got it in surgery. They didn't, came back, went through 18 months of chemo. She eventually passed away. So I'm sharing, you know, this along the way. And my same friend came back and said, Clay, you really need to write a book this time. And I want to introduce you to somebody, the book professor. So her name is Nancy Erickson. So she introduced me to Nancy. Nancy has a masterclass, basically, that she takes people through if you sign up. And you start with just an idea. She only works with nonfiction writers. You start with an idea. And 14 months later, you have a finished manuscript in your hand. So, so you write it all yourself, but she has a process that helps you she creates a book map, or you create a book map, which helps you lay out the book and helps you come up with ideas for it. And luckily, I did not know this until I found out, you can download your entire Facebook profile onto your computer and go through and scan everything you've ever done. So I already had probably 50% of the content already created over the last 20 years. It's just a matter of finding it and repurposing it, and then creating some new content. So came out with the book, had the final manuscript. And then Nancy also has a company called Stone Book Publishing, which if you choose to publish and you choose to use hers, you can. So toss it over to Stone Book Publishing. They're the ones that helped us come up with the title. Well, let me rephrase that. I came up with the title, but it was a good back and forth of discussion to get there. I helped design the cover and then got the ISBN number, got it listed to Library of Congress, got it posted on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and so on. So I actually brought it to fruition. So that's the process that we went through to get the book out.
And when I got it sent home from my son's day program, it was such a blessing to me. But it was just from being a book marketer, I was so impressed by the look of it. I mean, just the title was perfect. God's Plan, Our Circus. Like, that could be my life, obviously, with autism. Yeah. But it was just so professionally done. And I love it because I know that's what a lot of people struggle with, depending on the publishing route they take, is, you know, like when you envision it on a table, what, you know, does it look like other authors' books? You know, does it look like it's a professional book? And this is, they did a great, great job. So we're actually going to be interviewing Nancy. So I can't wait to hear her talk more about that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that and affirming that. The process, I will give you a little bit on the naming, the titling of the book and the cover itself. So for years, like ever, I've always referred to my family as the Boatwright Circus. And that's kind of became the running joke of the Boatwright Circus. Well, I wanted to kind of weave that into the title in some way. And as Nancy and I were going back and forth on the title, and I also wanted a cover that kind of depicted a circus theme. So first we were working on the title, and I had a working title that I won't share now because I may use it for another book sometime, and that I was planning to use. But then once I read the final draft of the book, I'm like, no, that title was much more kind of self-focused, if you will. And I looked at it and said, no, this book is not about me. It's not really about my family. It's really more about God. And so how do we weave that in there? So then I thought about it and said, well, what if we did When God's Plan Becomes Our Circus? Toss that over to her. She looked at it and said, I think we're on a path. So then she edited it down and came back with God's Plan, Our Circus. And I said, there you go. We have a winner. Yeah. Then we went back and forth on the subtitle. But that was the iterative process that we went through to get to the final title. On the cover, I had an idea. There are graphic artists put together several different depictions of my idea. Quickly, I realized my idea was not the way to go. So I turned it over to their creative artist to just kind of germinate up and come up with some different ideas on how can we get a circus theme. And after probably 18 different iterations, we wound up where we wound up. And I was really, really pleased with how it came out.
Yeah, I love the cover of it. And I so appreciate that background, because I think that's really hard for authors to, you know, they share like ideas and they share covers that they like, but then when it, you know, they give it off to a designer and it comes back and it's like, oh, that wasn't really what I was thinking. So I know there's a lot of rounds of that, but yeah. And I imagine with a circus, that probably was really hard to, you know, I mean, it was so professional, but it obviously has that circus component because that's when the title. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they did a fantastic job. So yeah, kudos to you and kudos to your publisher. And I wanted to say, because I know, like you talked about, that maybe wasn't on your radar until somebody brought it up to you, that you talk about in the book, the power of God can be manifested in each one of us, regardless of our capabilities. Mm-hmm. And I just hope everybody remembers that, you know, if you have a story in you to tell, and I'm preaching to myself too on this, but you know, you want to get out and tell it. And like you said, it wasn't so much your story. It wasn't like necessarily a memoir. It was about God and what he's done in your life and your family's life. And I think that's so amazing, you know, and we just need more people to be sharing that and, you know, sharing what God can do. And especially for fellow families that are facing special needs like we are, it's a really tough battle. And thank God for parents like you that, I mean, I would not be here today without parents like you advocating for me and our state and our son and, you know, just other fellow parents going through this muddy road together. Just, you know, it's been a really hard, it's still a hard road, but thank God there's other parents to help us through. So I just want to share, if anybody has a story to tell about that, you know, please, you know, just follow Clay's lead and get it out there. And, but you're focused on the readers, right? You want them to learn about God. It's not necessarily learn about your family, but speaking of your family, did you have any fears about writing the story? Cause you talk a lot about your amazing, which, you know, your beautiful wife, Carol, was such an advocate too, and such an inspiration to me. And then you also have your other daughter who doesn't have special needs, an older daughter. And I also have another son. So I know it's sometimes hard on the siblings, and there's just so much to unpack there. And then being a dad, did you have any fears about sharing any of that when you started writing your story?
Not really. Again, Blair, my oldest, she was already familiar with her dad's overexposure relative to social media and so on. So a lot of it, and again, she lived it, right? So
yeah.
As I was writing it, it's amazing the number of people who say, "Well, Clay, you know, let me take a look at it, you know, before it goes to print. I want to be the final editor." And I would kind of laugh, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, "Why? You know, why?" It's like everybody wants to get an early glimpse of it. But the only person who read the book prior to me sending it to the publisher was Blair, and the reason was she had a front row seat to the entire deal. I also talk about her in the book, and there are also a couple of things, particularly when I talk about the joys of dating in your mid-50s and a couple of things that happened after her mom passed, that I'm like, you know, it's candid, but you know, to some extent, this story is her legacy as well. I'm going to die someday, right? She's hopefully going to outlive me by a long time. She's going to have to live with this piece of work and have to explain it to people. And she came back and said, "I wouldn't change a word." So I said, "Okay." So we went with it. It is candid. Yeah. I've always believed when I got into the advocacy world, whether it was going down to Austin to testify on something for the legislature or sharing the story, as we were talking about a moment ago, the importance of sharing our stories, you have to be candid. And to me, if I was trying to sugarcoat something or I held back out of embarrassment or whatever the case may be, that's disingenuous. It's not being true. And I firmly believe from day one, the only way that I could make a difference in terms of whether it was influencing legislation or just working with a family to let a family know that you're not the only person dealing with this craziness. The only way to do that is to be totally transparent and totally sincere. Because when you think about it, what am I protecting? You know, what is there? You know, so often I think we get concerned about our image or what are people going to think about us? At the end of the day, who cares? Who I am? I think I'm a decently nice guy. Have my image is based on my relationship with God, my care for my family. Some people, I think, are concerned of maybe their children's reputation. Paige and Mia are who they are. And the two people who are least concerned about their image are Paige and Mia. Now, I always treat them with respect. And when I share their stories, it's always from a respectful standpoint. So I owe that to them, not only as my children, but just as fellow human beings. It's funny we talk about respect. I was thinking about this the other day. Since Carol passed away, I've like done this crazy dating thing, right? And I've never had a date that lasted less than 3 hours. And I realized this because apparently I'm easy to talk to. And I started thinking about it and realized, and as a podcaster, you tell me if this resonates with you as someone who interviews people. I realized that if you treat people with respect, okay, just basic kindness and respect, and give them a sense that you're not judging them, that they're in a no judgment zone. So if people feel like they're being respected, and that they're not being judged, they'll tell you anything. So that's what I tried to convey in the book was, hey, you're reading my story. I'm not judging anybody or pass or I don't nowhere in the book do I tell anybody what to do. There's one chapter on the top five things I advise families. But that was something I learned in the writing process. Actually, Nancy told me this. She said, don't use the word should, S-H-O-U-L-D, because nobody likes to be should on. And I thought about that. And I'm like, that's appropriate, not just for writing, but just kind of life in general.
Yes.
You know, nobody likes it when someone's telling them what they should do. Well, you don't know my story. You don't know my walk. Yeah. If you want to give me some ideas, that's great. Or tell me about your story and I can draw my own parallels. That's fine. Uh-huh. So that was kind of a writing style or a perspective that kind of resonated with me in a big way.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. And so many people on this journey, any parenting journey, but especially our parenting journey, have definitely input on how they think things should be and opinions. And yeah, we just don't always need to hear those. But I do, I'm so appreciative that the way you just talked about that with your book, because I know some of my favorite books that have made such an impact on my life have been those ones that you're reading and you're just like, thank God I'm not alone in this. You know, like I thought I was the only one struggling with this and I'm not. Mm-hmm. Different authors, reach readers different ways. So yeah, I love that so much. I'm so appreciative how you respected Blair, you're typically the typical sibling throughout of that. I mean, I hope that some of our siblings write a book themselves one day because they have such a unique perspective on this whole situation. And boy, have they had a front row seat, like you said, to it all. And, and I know it's changed over the years as they've grown into adults. So, I hope that maybe they'll take a dive into publishing too.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because the siblings have a unique role, disability or not. So often we forget, we know our siblings longer than we know our parents. So siblings know each other for much longer than they know their parents and vice versa. So we're in each other's lives for a long time. So that's a big deal. In the whole disability world where, and I'll use Blair as an example. Yeah, she had the front row seat and her sisters would annoy her and aggravate her at times, as siblings often do.
Yes.
But Blair is blessed with the fact that she never had to ask herself the question, what did I do to cause this?
Yeah.
More than a few parents have asked themselves that question.
Yes.
My guess is you and I are sitting here and we may be two of those parents, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Clay.
What did I do? A sibling doesn't have that question. That's a unique lens through which to view their sibling and the experiences there that I think is very encouraging. So to your point, siblings do have a different view and can when they share their story, it can be a very different angle than what you and I may see, which I think is probably very refreshing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, because there weren't many resources back when we were getting our diagnosis, certainly not, there was books to read, but not a whole lot of them and certainly not podcasts to listen to. And yes, definitely not anything written by siblings. So yeah, hopefully they'll get out there and share more of that because it isn't every family's different. They all have different stories. So yeah. So I would love to see more siblings publishing books for sure. So back to your publishing journey. So going with Stonebrook. So whenever you heard about them and got referred to Nancy, did you just like, once you met with her, just take it and run with it? Or did you pursue any other options for publishing?
I investigated a few others. When she and I met, we met online and there was something about her, just her style, her attitude. She seemed to get it. I mean, you could tell she just seemed to understand where I was coming from. I considered myself a pretty good writer. I enjoyed going through her process or her masterclass because I learned a lot. It was one of those, I didn't realize how much I didn't know. And, and so the writing techniques that I learned not only helped with the book, but I now edit text. When I send someone a text message, I will edit it based on some of the things I've learned. So there was that great education process. One of the things about working with Stonebrook that was good, I didn't know much of anything about publishing. And I always heard these stories about people who publish their own work, who you go through the process and then you hear about, there's a thousand boxes of books sitting in the garage that someone spent $10,000 on and they're never going to get rid of them. With the process that we used, it's all print on demand. So book someone when they order online, it doesn't exist until they order it. So it's a slightly higher incremental cost to me to pay for that, but I'm not sitting on tons of inventory that I have to eventually get rid of. So that process, just from a business standpoint, made a lot of sense to me. Anyway, so I didn't redo a lot of research on it. I think once I found myself ready to do the book, I was open to input and then kind of a timing thing in terms of being introduced to Nancy. It just seemed to work really well.
Yeah, on God's timing for sure. I love how he works through all that and matches people up and makes things happen. So now that you have author attached to your bio of many, many things, Clay, because you do so many amazing things in advocacy and I'm sure in your corporate world that I don't even know about, but now that you have author beside your name, has that opened up any new or unexpected opportunities for you?
Well, I'm hoping so. What I'm doing now is trying to commercialize the book and kind of get the word out about that. But I'm also trying to create some like keynote speaking opportunities. So there's several different topics that I allude to in the book, which I think some of my life experiences I can use, extrapolate them out into bigger ways to not only help, say, families with disabilities, but even from a corporate standpoint, you know, right now, a lot of companies are focused on employee mental health and making sure that, or realizing that, hey, every employee has their own unique situation, their own story. There's the line I use in the book at one point that we've all heard that everyone you know is dealing with a crisis you know nothing about. So be kind. Companies are starting to realize that. And I think I've got some mechanisms and some ideas on help on how they can help their employees through that. So I'm in the process of trying to foster all of that. In the book, if you remember, there's the section after Carol passed away when I was in the grocery store. 3 days after she had passed away, it was Valentine's Day, and Blair had gone out with her boyfriend. I walk into the grocery store all sad and depressed, morbid. Carol had died 3 days earlier. It's Valentine's Day. Life sucks. My life's miserable. I'm all by myself. I'm in a 5-bedroom house living all by myself. Blah, blah, blah. Life sucks. Blah, blah. And I get to a certain point, and everything changed in a heartbeat. And it was at that moment where I suddenly brightened up, got excited, was enthusiastic, and God revealed two things to me in absolute clarity. And I'll circle this around to the book and or the reason for writing the book. So number one was, so even though Carol just died, and I was sad about that, number one, Carol's doing great. She's doing a lot better than the rest of us, right? She's experiencing what all we Christians aspire for, and that is to live eternity with God. I viewed it as God releasing me from having to mourn Carol, because you don't mourn somebody who's doing better than you are. you miss some, of course. I mean, you know, sneak attacks and stuff, but you don't mourn someone who's doing better than you are. So that was very refreshing. I didn't have to worry about Carol. The second thing had to do with me, and that was, I was 55 at the time. I'm 58 now. So I was 55, had been married for 30 years, and God willing, use that literally, I've got another 30 years ahead of me. So I'm not even halfway done with this whole adulting thing. For the first time in my adult life, I had virtually no obligations and responsibilities. So Carol was in heaven. Paige and Mia were in a group home that we'd gotten set up for them that was working great. Paige and Mia are doing great. I really have no responsibilities, barely for myself. I could literally do whatever I want. How often does that happen? And it hit me at that moment that God had presented me with an opportunity that not many people get. And the million-dollar question was, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? And it's still somewhat of an open question. Writing the book is part of that. Is kind of getting this story out, and you've read it. It not only talks about the disability world as well as, you know, terminal illness and the passing of a spouse, but there's a lot of humor in it. There's a lot of faith in it, and I think this is a story that hopefully resonates with people outside of our kind of narrow disability piece. It just happens to be where I come from.
Yeah.
So I hope it has some legs and goes there, and then able to extend, like I mentioned, if I can do speaking engagements and so on, kind of get that word out. And if I'm able to do that, that will be so much more personally rewarding than the paying career that I had for the previous 35 years, which was fine at, you know, putting a roof over our head and pay the bills. So I'm not going to complain about that. But it's nice to be able to do something which I think will have greater social value than before.
And there's so much there that I think about, you know, sometimes as authors get a little pigeonholed into what, like, okay, it's a Christian book, so I can only talk to a Christian audience, or, you know, it has special needs, I can only talk to a special needs audience. But yeah, that's so exciting to think about all the ways this could explode, because you bring your corporate experience to it, and there's that mental health that people need help with. And I think, you know, our differences as moms, we tend to like band together with moms and we'll talk about our feelings, you know, we'll have sobbed together and then, try to figure out everything we're doing. And, you know, men, the dads are just like, okay, what do we need to do? Let's get this going. How are we going to pay for this? Like, let's look to the future. Like, y'all are so much, you know, built differently than us. And I think, you know, men need to hear that, you know, men need more of that to hear, you know, there's just somebody that's been there, done that, you know, and what the path they've taken. And then, yeah, especially at work, like they may not want to talk about it. And to have these mental health resources would be amazing so that you could talk about the book. So I love seeing it. I can't wait to see how God uses all this. And yeah, there may be some unexpected things come up that, yeah, you never even knew were going to happen. So it's so fun. So, well, let's talk about PodMatch, because I mentioned in my introduction that that's how Clay and I officially connected for this interview, although he's been on my list. But I would just love to hear, I don't know how long you've been a member of PodMatch, but can you share maybe how that's helped you reach audiences and tell them about your book by being a guest on podcast?
Sure. So several people had told me that podcasting would be an avenue to help get the word out and get the message to different people. So I was aware of it, but really wasn't sure how to approach it. I was going to probably just do internet searches and figure out who are some of the bigger podcasters, or I'd figure it out around that same time. It seems like all roads lead back to Nancy. So Nancy, she sent out an email to a group of publishers or a group of writers that she's been working with recently, and said, hey, there's this gentleman that she had met who specializes in reaching out to podcasters. And how do you frame up your story to reach out to them to get their interest? And then how do you come up with taking your own story, make it concise and interesting for their audiences, and then tweaking it based on whatever their particular audience is? And PodMatch was the component, was the element that he used. Utilize this to find podcasts that are going to be relevant. And how do you reach out to people, and how do you frame things up? And yeah, he recommended developing videos that you could send a link to, so that, say, differentiate me from other people that are reaching out to these podcasters. So one of the things that as I've described to people what PodMatch is. So yeah, I started dating again, and yeah, I hadn't been on a first date since 1986. Okay. Uh-huh. So the world's changed a little bit, and what's changed in the big component of dating are dating apps. Okay. We didn't have those back in the day, right? Well, I tell people PodMatch is basically a dating app for podcasters. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
So you've got the podcasters who are having their profiles, and here's what our format is, and here's what we do, and so on. And then you have people who want to be interviewed, such as myself. We're doing the same thing. We're putting our profile out there. We're reaching out and trying to get people's attention and trying to differentiate ourselves from the next person. And you send the message, ooh, they like me too. You know, so it's just like a dating app. It really, truly is. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I love Alex that runs PodMatch. He does such a great job, and a great man of faith himself. And yeah, that's exactly right. I did a podcast with a friend of mine that I was actually working with her agency, and we were kind of reviewing some of the different services, and PodMatch was our favorite. But that's exactly what she said too, is like, just imagine it's a dating service, you know, not that either one of us knew about dating services, but it is. I've noticed that on the host side, you know, when I get a guest that pops up as a match, and it's just like, oh, nope, you know. It's not a match after all. I mean, it's just so funny, but I love that we have that resource. So I'm glad to hear about your experience. And I know you've gotten several interviews, because I went and checked your name out, whatever, you know. Like, hey, what you like to see what shows you've been on, you know, so I could listen to them, but also to see, like, I immediately thought of shows I wanted to recommend you to. So I didn't want to recommend you to ones that you'd already been a guest on. So that was super fun.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, no, I would love, because I know we're talking all about publishing and book marketing, and I think that you have a very valuable story to share on a lot of Christian podcasts that I know of, that, you know, just want to dig into more of your faith journey and, you know, and how God has, you know, stayed true to you, and you stay true to him throughout all these difficult roads you've been down. So yeah, I'll definitely will introduce you to some of my podcasting friends. Okay, so lastly, to kind of wrap it up, Clay, for you, that, you know, you've been through this journey of writing a book and publishing a book, is there anything you wish you had known about marketing that book if you had only known it earlier? Or, you know, if you wish you would have known it earlier, you would tell an author that's looking to go down that journey what they should know ahead of time?
So that's probably the greatest Achilles heel that I've had, is the marketing element. And it's interesting, because I'm a marketing sales guy by background, so I understand the basic elements of marketing. But book marketing is different, and the mechanisms you use are different. So so once the book came out, or I guess it was, We were finalizing it. So it was the end of last year. It came out January 7th. So it's the end of last year. I know I'm going to want to develop a marketing plan and work with find an agency that specializes in book marketing. So I just got on the internet and did some research and found about 5 different agencies, and you know, kind of interviewed them and got costs and so on back. And wound up going with one, which I wouldn't say I regret it. Yes, okay, I'll say I regret it. They delivered my website, took them much longer than they said they would. There are some things they did not deliver against. I just had a lot of quality service problems with them. Basically, we wound up ending the relationship. I think there are a lot of companies out there that position themselves as book marketers. Yeah. What you get for that is you don't really know. And you know, you try to do word of mouth and look at recommendations and reviews and so on. And I thought I had done that process pretty well, but I don't think I did. So that's a very long-winded answer to your question. Is the book marketing side is one that I should have probably done more research on or talked to other authors and gotten their recommendations and so on, as opposed to trying to find an agency on my own.
Does. I know a lot of authors, they, you know, turn to the internet. Yeah. And just start searching. And there's so many different ways you can market a book nowadays, obviously all kinds of online ways. So I bet many authors have gone down that same journey. Yeah, like you just don't know until you kind of get in it and try it. And yeah, we just sometimes have to ask, excuse me, word of mouth and just see what comes up. But anyway, I know it's going to be a fantastic, Clay. And I just want to wrap up and I just ask, you know, where can everybody connect with you? So I have a lot of podcast hosts that listen to the show and they may want to reach out to you to be a guest on the show, or, you know, people want to learn more about your book. Is there one place they can connect with you?
Absolutely. So I have a website. It's clayboatwright.com. So CLAYBOATRIGHT, Clayboatwright, no W, clayboatwright.com. You can hear a little bit more about the story. You can reach out to me through there. You can send me an email at clayboatwright@live.com. And I'd be happy to chat.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And I'll be sure and put all those links in the show notes. Well, great, Clay. Thank you again for your time today. It just meant so much to me to have you on the show and get to serve my listeners.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm honored and flattered to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation, Kim. It means a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Clay. So I pray today's conversation was a blessing to you. If you think Clay would be a great guest to share his story of faith and his book, God's Plan, Our Circus, with your listeners, be sure to reach out to him or to me to connect you or to Clay through the Podmatch service if you're a member. And be on the lookout to hear from his publisher, Nancy, at Stonebrook Publishing here on the show, too. Y'all, I truly wish there had been more podcasts and books talking to moms and dads of special needs to help prepare me for the diagnosis way back then, and especially now for the transition and all that comes with it when our kiddos enter adulthood. So if you have some resources to share for parents, please don't hold back. Share those solo episodes. Invite guests to be on your show, because your listeners, like me, will thank you for it. So thanks for tuning in today. And as always, I'll be there for you next time to help you market your book one podcast at a time. See you then.